Blog Talk Radio.
No one.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
Many women already know that adult entertainment, otherwise known as porn, is a multi-billion dollar industry that primarily attracts millions of male customers. But what many men may not know is that the market for female sex toys is also a multi-million dollar, bordering on billion dollar industry. What type of women invest heavily in female sex toys? What are the different types of sex toys available to women? What are the best sellers on the market? My guest for the evening knows all about the wide assortment of dildos, vibrators, clit stimulators, and bullets that will add spice to a woman and her partner's lovemaking, as well as enhance a night of masturbatory heaven. She is a clinical sexologist who specializes in helping both men and women improve their level of enjoyment and satisfaction in their sex lives. Who is this woman who has dedicated a good part of her life to the study of human sexuality and acts as an online advisor for women who are in the market for new and useful female sex toys? Her name is Dr. Carol Queen, and tonight, Dr. Queen is going to inform my many female listeners about everything they need to learn and know about personal sexual enjoyment as Dr. Queen takes time out of her very busy schedule to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Is this the Alan Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh, my God.
You're really good at this.
I got to ask you, though. Do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and bury someone in the race? You do?
I think they do. I think I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo! Mode 1! This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode 1, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Thank you.
In my chat room, that's right. I got Adrian I mentioned my birthday is 1 week from tonight. Adrian's birthday is the day before my birthday. So let's say happy birthday to Diva 362636. Her birthday is March 2nd. And you know what she's going to get for her birthday present? She's going to get a loss to the Ohio State Buckeyes because IU's going to whoop that ass. IU, I'm predicting it. IU going to whoop that ass. They're going to beat down Ohio State Buckeye. That's right. Okay, I may be just talking shit. Hey, but Purdue did beat them. Purdue. I don't like Purdue. I hate Purdue, actually. But they beat Ohio State. So my thing is, if Purdue can beat them, we can beat them. Oh, no, but happy birthday coming up to Adrian next Wednesday. Big dog! Big dog 83! Big dog 83 is in the house! In the house. I got London Lisna. London Lisna is in the house. That's right. So, yeah, I will have probably a few other listeners joining me as the evening goes on. Again, the Bulls are on top of the Heat, 80-77. I say the Bulls are going to win. The Bulls are going to win. That's right. That's right. That's right. Other shout-outs would be my brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry, my cousin J.P. Jones from Chicago, who just had a birthday on Monday. So happy belated birthday to my cousin J.P. Jones in Chicago, Arthur Ball in Maplewood, New Jersey, Philip Pulliam and his older brother, Irvin V. Pulliam, the third, EVP3. No Had, a.k.a. Metal Hayes, Vanessa Turner, Edie Lee Harris, Don Calypso, Mel Hopkins, Kathy Galloway, Hill, Chad Hunter. The NBA All-Star Game has come and gone. Trade day, last day for trades was today. Man, the Celtics made an interesting trade. They got rid of Perkins, man. That surprised me. Kendrick Perkins went to Oklahoma, and so I don't know, man. That's a gamble. They said they want more speed on the perimeter. Now, if they win the championship, or at least make it to the championship, nobody will doubt Danny Ainge's thinking. But, man, if they don't make it to at least the Eastern Conference Finals, Danny Ainge might just get fired. I mean, yeah, that was an interesting trade. And, of course, everybody knows Carmelo Anthony is now a Knick. Thank goodness, man. I was tired of reading about the brother. I mean, I ain't got nothing personal against Carmelo. I love Melo, actually. He's a smooth hooper, but man, I just got tired of reading every day. What is Melo going to do? What are they going to do with Melo? Who is Melo going to get traded to? Melo, 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 Melo. Now he's in New York. Let's see what the New York Knicks do. I say it's the Bulls and Spurs in the NBA Finals. You can quote me on it. That's right. But now first Egypt. Now it's Libya. Libya is people going crazy. Muammar Gaddafi, you know, he's been around for a while. To me, he always been crazy. My prayers go out to those who lost their lives in New Zealand. New Zealand had a major earthquake and quite a few people got killed. And, you know, our hearts and prayers go out to those who lost their lives and the loved ones that they left behind. Charlie Sheen has gone crazy. I don't know if you've been reading it, but Charlie Sheen is just, they canceled 2.5 Men, at least for the rest of the year. I don't know if it's permanently canceled, but it definitely got canceled for the rest of the season. And Charlie Sheen went in some interviews just blasting his producer, a guy named Chuck Lorre. And, man, he was dogging out prostitutes. And I don't know, he just, he dogged out Alcoholics Anonymous. Charlie Sheen, man, you just got to love him, man. He just, yeah, so much for rehab, huh? Yeah, he's been just blasting folks. Now, Sunday is Oscar night. Now, anybody knows Whoopi Goldberg got mad because the New York Times left out of a list of all the African-Americans who have won an Oscar. But Oscar, the Academy Awards, is Sunday night. I want the Social Network to win for Best Picture, but everybody's saying it's going to be The King's Speech. I still have to see that movie to see if it's worthy, but that's what they say. I thought my personal favorite was The Social Network. And The Town was probably my close second. My close second is The Town by Ben Affleck. Now, I read an interesting article today. It's funny when you read these articles about these studies and surveys, and you always think it's going to be something really enlightening, but at least one third of the time, it ends up saying something that makes you say, duh, no shit. And one of those that I read today, it said a study came out that shows that when men watch porn on a daily basis and jack off on a daily basis, they become less interested in having sex with their female partners. Duh. Of course, if a guy's jacking off every day, 2 to 3 times a day, I mean, he just, yeah, he prefers the, you know, rosy palm. And so, hey, I just never found porn good enough to watch every damn day. But there are some men who watch porn every damn day. And I always said, this has been my thing about porn. I said this when I was on national TV on the Mike and Juliet show. I said, porn is great when you treat it like the icing on the cake. But when you treat porn like the cake itself, it's always going to have undesirable repercussions and consequences. So there you have it. So, hey, stick around. I will be introducing my guest for the evening right after this intermission break. So don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Dangerously Sleep. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times bestselling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
From President Barack Obama to jazz master Ellis Marsalis, Olympic gold medalist Diane Dixon to Academy Award winner Monique, Pulitzer Prize winner Maya Angelou to World Heavyweight Champ Evander Holyfield. These and more are the African-American figures Blog Talk Radio's honoring throughout the month with encore presentations of their most compelling interviews. And soon, we'll be capping off our 28 Days of Black History Makers series with a 2-hour special presented by AT&T. Day 28, Go Tell It Live, gets underway Monday, February 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. To learn more, log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/Black History Makers.
Mode 1.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
You got it.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexandra Kanahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
So I'm getting treated for my sex appeal.
This is Nikki Trum, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.net. All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310-310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Oh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. I want to welcome Christian Davis to the chat room, Covina Man to the chat room, and Relationship Buzz to the chat room. Glad to have you. And they're joined, of course, as already mentioned, by Big Dog 83, Adrian, a.k.a. Diva 36, and my younger cousin, Christopher Curry, Hype Style. My guest this evening is a writer, speaker, educator, and activist with a doctorate in sexology. She organized one of the first gay youth groups in the United States and later became highly active in the emerging international bisexual community. My guest writes very explicit erotic fiction, and her work has been published in many periodicals and has been widely anthologized, and she has several books in print. My guest publishes a sex and relationship advice column, which is available in the Good Vibrations magazines and on www.goodvibes.com. My guest sponsors her own educational events, which are organized through Carol Queen Workshops and the Center for Sex and Culture, a non-for-profit sexuality education center, which her and her partner, Dr. Robert Lawrence, have spent the last several years organizing. The two also teach frequently at Good Vibrations and its sister stores around the U.S. and in Canada, as well as at sexuality conferences of various kinds. My guest has addressed topics as diverse as lesbian and gay identity, gay rights, sadomasochism, group sex, bisexuality, prostitution, pornography, sex work, sex toys, which is the emphasis of our discussion tonight, sex toys, but we'll touch on a few other things, alternative relationship structures, erotic writing, and safe sex. And my guest has had her erotic writing performed in many venues, from San Francisco spoken word events like Word Fuck. What a name, Word Fuck. Perverts Put Out and Sister Spit Group readings to solo shows and alternative theatrical venues. Her primary focus, whether writing, speaking, consulting, or providing erotic entertainment, is to empower and inspire others to discover their own unique sexual profile and to encourage others to remove the stigma from sex before they can truly make it fabulous. On behalf of the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network and the listeners of Upfront and Straightforward, hey, listeners, give it up for Dr. Carol Queen. What is up, Dr. Queen?
I am so happy to be with you. You
Maybe
well,
it's not like I get around.
You being with me, you well accomplished young lady, you. You're like a pioneer in this field of human sexuality.
Well, you know what? I just call myself a sexological overachiever. I just can't stop, and I just keep going like the little Energizer Bunny. And before you know it, you got some books edited, and you know you've done some talks. You know how it is. You get up in the morning and you do things, and by the end of the day, you've had some accomplishments.
I like a sexological overachiever. I'm going to have to borrow that from you, Dr. Queen.
Please.
Like that. Now, okay, let me ask you. When did you first, what experience or series of events led you to the point where you said, I'm going to make a career out of studying human sexuality?
That is a great question, because most people who are interested in sex don't actually go pro in any sense of the word, and I've gone pro in two or three different senses. So, you know, the very first thing was just getting some kind of a clue. I couldn't have explained it in words because I was too young, but when I was a kid, getting a clue that there was something in my house about sexuality that just wasn't quite right, my parents' relationship, like I said, I couldn't have told you what it was. I found out after I turned 30 that my mom had been abused when she was a girl, and she never really got over it.
Wow.
And what I was getting was my dad's frustration and inability to get through to her and her frightenedness and all of that. You know, people know that sort of thing affects a person that it happens to. They don't always get that it affects their whole family, you know, and anybody else that they might be involved with. So that was one. Number two was figuring out that I was very interested in sex, but I was maybe a little too interested or diversely interested or something, because as you read in my bio, I was identified as gay when I was young. But beyond that, even when I was identified as lesbian, I knew that I was interested in guys. It just wasn't, you know, the guys around me, because I was dipping into my gay boyfriend's porn. So, you know, that just confused me in a really great way. And the third thing was when HIV came along, and all of a sudden I realized, oh, all this stuff isn't just what I do on the side for fun. All this stuff is really, really, truly serious. It's real. It's something I can do for a living. It's something I should do. Talking to people about sex and trying to get them more comfortable so they can communicate when they need to, the way they need to.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Now, around what time did you? Well, first of all, you got your doctorate in sexology.
Yep.
Now, between you and I'm actually aspiring to do the same thing at some
Excellent.
Point in the future. And now one of the things I want to say I read to become or to earn your doctorate in sexology, you study what's called pronounce it for me. Erotology, is that?
Erotology.
Erotology
is where they pronounce it.
Could you tell my listeners briefly what that is?
Yes, and it's a great thing. It's the academic or professional study of erotic materials, and that could be erotic literature, erotica. It could be porn. It could be erotic art. It's basically in sexology. It's the humanities. It's the art and literature side of sexology.
Okay.
Because and let me tell you why it's worth studying. Obviously, it's, you know, fun to dig into enough to write your dissertation. But the reason it's worth studying is because at any given time in history, wherever you look in whatever culture, people are interested in sex in, you know, varying ways. They're reproducing, obviously, but often they're having some sort of sexual entertainment or sexual culture that's being built. Erotic art, or, you know, even in the caves we've found erotic or sexualized paintings from thousands and tens of thousands of years ago. So it's a constant in most of our cultures, but it isn't, for most cultures, supported very well.
So it goes away. It's, you know, it's what the historian calls ephemera, where it you know, grandma burns what she found in grandpa's garage, and the grandkids never get it because it was a bunch of dirty stories or something like that. And so it becomes part of the history of understanding a culture and its attitudes towards sex and its understanding about sex. So that's what makes it like really an academic study as opposed to an awesome hobby that many of us share.
Mm-hmm. Now, so Good Vibrations, this is a store, a magazine, and a website.
Right. The magazine is really on the web. You can't just buy it at a newsstand.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
At this time. If we figure out a different way to get paper, except from cutting down all the nice trees, you know, maybe we'll talk about doing something on paper. But it is on the web. There's a link to it from Good Vibes website, which is goodvibes.com. But if people want to just see the magazine, I believe it's at goodvibesmagazine.com. The link from the regular website is all the way over to the right in the sex information set of links that also tells people how to get to the info pages on the site about, you know, when people are choosing a toy or a product or something, sometimes they like to read up about what it will do and what the, you know, where's the G-spot? Do I want a G-spot vibrator? What's a G-spot anyway? That kind of thing. So there's a bunch of information there as well as these magazine articles, which are not only the question and answer that I do, but also some people just write kind of sex and politics kind of commentary, and also there's erotica on there. So there's a little bit of everything.
Okay. Now, when did you start writing erotica?
Wow. I think I started writing erotica in the late 80s, and I was looking for, sort of stories I wasn't really finding. I started to just sit down to see if I could write them myself. And I still tell people in my classes and stuff, that's the best reason, the very best reason to write an erotic story is because there's something that you want to put on paper for yourself or put on your computer screen for yourself. And the next best reason is to write for somebody that you're pretty sure will love reading it, you know, your partner or somebody like that. And then if it goes over well there, you send it out in the world and see if other people like your erotic vision, because it's just like any kind of writing. It's, you know, people will tune in if they think that that's the kind of writing that is meaningful or moving to them, but you've got the extra oomph of getting into people's erotic fantasies and things like that. So it's a kind of an intimate kind of writing, even if you don't know who is going to read it, because so many people just keep their fantasies and their erotic thoughts to themselves. And if you're putting it on paper, you're putting it out there somehow.
Now, I don't know if you've listened to any of my previous episodes, Dr. Queen, but anytime I have a sex expert or sexologist, particularly female, they have to say my favorite word.
And your favorite word is what?
Fucking.
Oh, fucking is a great word.
Ooh,
fucking is such a great word. Do you know, I wrote a book called Exhibitionism for the Shy, which from the title makes it just sound like it's a, you know, visual showing off. But I count talking, erotic talking, as a form of exhibitionism, because it means you're putting it out there and letting somebody else be communicated with by your eroticism. And fucking's the best word in the book when you're talking dirty. The best word.
Oh, you got to say that again, Dr. Queen.
Fucking is the best word in the book.
Ooh,
but people are too shy to say fucking. I've got a good secondary word for them. I bet you like this word too, but I'm gonna throw it out for your listeners. If somebody can't bring themselves to say a single dirty word or erotic word, just say yes. And just say it in as many tones of voice as you can while you're making love. And pretty soon you're going to be ready to say fucking.
Ooh, I love Dr. Queen already.
Do you think?
Oh, you're good. Now wait, let me rewind. You said at one point you had a gay boyfriend. Is that what you said?
I have had gay girlfriends, gay boyfriends, everything. Yeah, I sort of eat outside my food group. You know what I mean? I'm happy to do it. I've had a couple of male partners who have been, the way a sexologist would describe them is bisexual based on their behavior. One of them did not identify as bisexual. He identified as gay, and the fact that he had sex with women was fun for him, but it wasn't how he described himself when he talked about himself. And the other man that is in my life now is identifies as bisexual and is fully open about doing that. But, you know, as I'm sure you know, many men don't necessarily want to step across the line and identify that way, even if they've had experience. So that's true of some women, too, but it's a little more common, I think, for women to go ahead and say they're bi, partly because if they have a male partner, lots of times the male partner thinks that is an erotic idea. Whether, you know, he really wants her to go out and get a girlfriend or not, that's another question. But it's a little more complicated for men, I think, in this culture. So the guys that I met who were open that way, I don't know if they're unusual, but there are plenty of men who wouldn't go there in you know, their identity, their what they would admit to or say or kind of own up to.
Yeah, it's true. It's, bisexuality is definitely far more accepted among women than it is among men.
Yeah, and, I think that's right. I think it's been right for a long time, too. I mean, I think this has been, you know, decades where this has been true.
Yes, indeed. Now, you mentioned fantasies. In your experience, being both a writer as well as I'm sure you've had many conversations with members of both genders, what would you say are two or three of the more common male sexual fantasies, and what are two or three of the more common female sexual fantasies?
Well, I think many, many men, I mean, we were just talking about female bisexuality. I think a lot of men find the idea of female bisexuality really erotic, and the idea of being with their partner or another woman and another woman is very high up there on the list. It's like more of all the great stuff he loves, plus the idea that if the women got into each other, that there would be something really hot and erotic about that. And, of course, that can be very true. Once you get into a real-life threesome, then, you know, everybody either totally enjoys each other or it's a little awkward, you don't really know how to act, but, you know, it's a fantasy. I mean, I believe that there are that is also a pretty common fantasy among women as well, whether they have talked about their sexual attraction to other women or not. I think that's fairly common. I wouldn't maybe say it's the very most common, but for guys, I think it's way up there. And I have also talked to many, many guys who liked the idea of going out with their wife or girlfriend or significant gal to a swinger party or some other kind of group sex environment where, you know, a lot has been said about how visual men are, and plenty of women are pretty visual too, you know. But I think it's true that most men really appreciate seeing erotic imagery, whether it's on the computer screen or whether they're lucky enough to be in a room full of people fucking. And the idea that guys might be able to talk their gal into going with them to a party like that is a very common fantasy, I think. And it's, again, from fantasy to reality, it's a little more complicated, and there's a little more figuring out how everybody's supposed to act and, you know, getting over nervousness and all of those things, not to mention if what he likes about it is the idea that he's going to go and have sex with other people, then she's going to find other people to have sex with too, or else she sits on the sofa and fumes. I've been to parties like that, and I know it works that way. but I think that, too, is a very, very common fantasy. And for women, I think that many women have never had the chance to be really, really erotically pampered. And I think a lot of women really like the idea of either being overwhelmed by sensation and attention, kind of in an SM kind of a way, you know, where she's just swept away by a powerful lover who really wants to do her and not let go until he's done. Or, and this is also almost as common, I think, the idea that she would kind of take the lead and say, I want to tell you exactly what I want, and you're going to give me everything I want. So having a little more of a dominant female, maybe not with the whole whips and chains business to go along with it, that's a special angle to that, but having the chance to really, really, really get everything she wants. And I know you're going to tell me that all of your women friends have that experience. And many guys are attuned to this, but so surprisingly many men are not. You know, they don't know what women might want, or they're thinking of themselves, or everybody's too tired by the time we get to bed, so it doesn't take very long. Or, you know, when people really decide to pull out all the stops and spend the whole weekend having sex, you can get into all kinds of lovely things.
Now, somebody brought up something in my chat room, or two things from the chat room I'm going to ask you. One is, now I know somebody told me that Maryland has the highest number of African-American swing clubs. I learned that from reading some magazine article. But generally speaking, do you have a lot of minorities who engage in swinging, or is it predominantly a Caucasian thing?
Well, you know, I don't know if there has been the right whole country research to be able to know that for sure. I'll tell you what I do think. I think that many African Americans are more comfortable in swing clubs where there is at least a very high proportion of African Americans, or primarily or exclusively African American, because it isn't always comfortable for everybody. And swing clubs is not the only venue where this is true, but it's not always comfortable for somebody to be the only black couple at the club, or some of very few. And I know that in Oakland here, our sister city to San Francisco, which has a higher African American population than San Francisco has, which is where I'm based, there is a longtime swing club called Barry and Shells that I explored when I got to the Bay Area, and I know the people who run it and things, and it is a pretty mixed environment in a pretty nice way, but that there also have been party clubs set up that have been primarily for African Americans, so that there's when you go out to a party like that, you already maybe, if you haven't done it before, feeling a little nervous, you want to know that you're going to go to a place that's going to feel safe to you, and there's all kinds of ways to feel safe. So I have heard that about Maryland, too. I'm not too surprised to hear it either. Partly I think it's the proximity to Washington, D.C., to tell you the truth. And of the states that kind of surround D.C., I think Maryland, in some of its counties, is maybe a little more liberal than Virginia and stuff like that. And D.C. has got, you wouldn't know it just to, walk down the street in D.C. necessarily, but D.C. has a fairly active sexual culture. There have been swing clubs there that I know of. There's a BDSM party house there that I know of now, and it's not a super conservative city at all. It's got some things going on, and again, they're a little bit on the quiet side of the street, but people who know how to find them know how to find them. So that's why it doesn't surprise me very much about Maryland. But, I bet you could look around Atlanta as well, and I wouldn't be at all surprised to find that there's some action going on around that city, too.
I want to quickly welcome the fertility coach to my chat room. Who else do I see in here? Jay Infinite is in my chat room. Sister is in my chat room, and a number of guests. Welcome to my chat room.
Secret identities, right?
Now, Dr. Queen, what was I going to ask you? See, I just lost my train of thought. I was asking you about fantasy. Oh, the other question from the chat room was, and I have one other guest who brought this up. Her name is Dr. Susan Block. I don't know if you're familiar with her.
I know Susan.
Do you? Yeah, she's the one in my little entry you hear say, "Yes, Master Allen." The women just get a kick out of hearing her say that. Yes, Master Allen.
Dr. Susie. People should know about her if they don't. She's terrific.
Yeah, now she talked about this term, and somebody asked this about this term in a chat room. What's the difference between a voyeur and, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it right, a coo or cuckold? I heard a cuckold
is a guy
who loves to watch his girlfriend or wife get fucked by another guy. Isn't that the same thing as a voyeur? What would you say is the distinction between a voyeur and a cuckold?
Well, that guy who likes to watch his wife with somebody else is being both a voyeur and a cuckold, I think. The definition of voyeur is somebody who gets erotically interested in watching, whether they're watching, you know, somebody sitting in a strip club, paying close attention to the lady on the pole is a voyeur, and somebody peeping through the blinds trying to see what's going on in there, or, you know, if drilled a hole in the locker room is a voyeur. I do not recommend that if it is non-consensual, but they are a voyeur. And somebody who's sitting in a chair in the bedroom watching the woman and the guy they met on Craigslist or wherever is also a voyeur. So it's the erotic interest in seeing and watching that is the hallmark of a voyeur, whereas a cuckold is a guy whose wife fucks somebody else. And it would fit it would literally fit him being in the room watching it, but the guy is still a cuckold even if he doesn't know that it has happened, because it's really about the fact that his wife has gone out on him, whether he knew about it and consented or whether he
didn't. So if a wife cheated on her husband and he never knew about it, he's still a cuckold.
Yeah, he's been cuckolded. He may never know about it. It's not his part of his identity necessarily, because he doesn't go around saying, "Hey, yeah, I'm a cuckold." In fact, most guys wouldn't consider that term a point of pride to identify, even if they would go, "Hey, yeah, I like to watch," and, you know, tell people that he wants them to come over to fuck his wife so he can watch. That would be more of a kind of an identity or preference that he has, that he might be in the right circumstances be really happy to share and tell other people. Whereas the cuckold has a at part of its definition is a little bit of, oh, he was shamed by that happening to him, you know. Whereas a guy in an open relationship, he would not feel shamed by it at all necessarily. He would say, oh yeah, that's our arrangement. She can do what she wants. I can do what I want. But this is sort of tinged by the attitude that, you know, a man and woman get married, they're monogamous forever, nothing ever happens after that, outside of them two. Which, of course, is how many people still want it and believe in it now, and not everybody does.
Listeners, if you want to call in and ask a question of Dr. Carol Queen, number is 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. I am going to take another quick intermission break, but I will be right back in about 3 to 4 minutes. No, wait. Before I go to my intermission, I'm going to have Dr. Queen say two things. One, I already had her say, I'm going to have her say fucking again. And then I'm going to have her say, Dr. Queen, anytime I have a guest, both male and female, I don't know if you know, I have a book out called Mode One, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking. And it's become a tradition on my show where I have a guest take the title of my book, Mode One. They stretch out the O's and they said, Mode One. So first, tell me my favorite word again, fucking, and then in your sexiest voice, say Mode One.
Well, your favorite word is fucking, and rightly so, because it's a damn good word. Mm-hmm. And Mode One.
Mode One. Alan Roger Curry.
Mode One. Getting up front and straightforward.
Mode One. Alan Roger Curry.
Mode One. Uh-huh.
I'll be right back in about 3 to 4 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Tackle Flavor 2, presented by Zay. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at pantiesupskirtdown.com.
And remember, keep it dangerous.
From President Barack Obama to Jazz Master Ellis Marsalis, Olympic gold medalist Diane Dixon to Academy Award winner Monique, Pulitzer Prize winner Maya Angelou to World Heavyweight Champ Evander Holyfield. These and more are the African American figures Blog Talk Radio's honoring throughout the month with encore presentations of their most compelling interviews. And soon, we'll be capping off our 28 Days of Black History Makers series with a two-hour special presented by AT&T. Day 28, Go Tell It Live, gets underway Monday, February 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. To learn more, log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/Black History Makers.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode One fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mode One.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't
yeah.
know that.
It's over 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay.
There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindsets is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
Just so the listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letter to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger. Now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that. Yeah.
Oh, man, you got to love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Turn to my interview. with clinical sexologist Dr. Carol Queen on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. And my special guest this evening is a clinical sexologist from the Bay Area who's well known all across the nation. She is, I call her, a pioneer in the field of human sexuality, and she refers herself as a sexological overachiever. I love that. Her name is Dr. Carol Queen. You can check out her site, www.goodvibes.com. And one of the things that my female listeners, Dr. Queen, want to talk about is when they can't get fucked real good, which, of course, they prefer, you know, fucking. But as you know, and your site plays into this, a lot of women, their second choice next to, you know, actual physical sex is self-pleasure mode, masturbation. And I was, my eyebrows were raised, I want to say, I don't know if it was 2, 3, 4 years ago when I first read that the female sex toy industry is like a multi-million, bordering on billion-dollar industry.
It has grown that big, you're right.
And why are, first question would be, why are female sex toys so popular among women?
Well, the first answer to that, I think, is that a lot of women find that, especially when they're first getting going with their sexual life, that they don't always know what really does it for them in order for them to be able to have an orgasm. And one of the things that toys are great for is for a woman to just explore, you know, how long it takes her, what kind of stimulation, which side of her clitoris is the most sensitive, whether if she wants something to go into her vagina, what size does she like, and all of that kind of stuff, all the little specific parts that go into sexual pleasure, she can kind of test them out and get a sense of herself and what it takes to get her off, that then she can tell any special friend of hers that she would like, and it gives her a little more empowerment than hoping that she gets with somebody who hits the spot the right way the first time, and if she doesn't know what kind of feedback to give, even if he's one of those wonderful guys who says, what can I do to please you, sometimes she doesn't even know the answer. So learning about herself and her responses is one way. When she doesn't have a partner, of course, obviously, then she can take care of matters herself and get back to being calm and get back to whatever it is she needs to do in her life. And so having there's a certain amount of sexual empowerment where you don't have to sit by the phone and wait for somebody to call who may not have your number yet, but you can just go ahead and achieve sexual pleasure yourself. And finally, I think there's the thing that a lot of guys don't understand is that it doesn't feel the same as having sex with a man or another woman for that matter. It's a separate sensation, vibration in particular. It's a gizmo, it's a toy, it's fun, and even a lot of guys find they like vibration when they try it, but so many men think about vibration as being something that women do that they just never even try. There are special nerve endings in our genitals, women, men, and everybody else, that respond specifically to vibration. So I would encourage everybody to see if they like the buzz, because a lot of people really find that it's a pleasurable sensation.
Hmm. Yeah, I always tell women, I think there's nothing sexier than a woman who plays with her pussy.
Yeah. And during intercourse, even, you know, I'm sure you've had women who just go, I'm just going to reach down there and play along all at the same time, and it could be very, very erotic and freeing to be able to respect your own pleasure enough to do that, know that you're with a guy who loves your pleasure as much. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are some of the more, say you're talking to some listeners who are totally ignorant to female sex toys.
Right.
What are some of the more popular female sex toys that sell like crazy?
You bet. I'll start out by saying that there's two main kinds of toys that women often choose between. There's the vibrator, which vibrates, and there's the dildo, which is specifically designed for insertion, vaginal and sometimes anal insertion, and it is just it basically mimics fucking. Or it is
it
as close
what?
To fucking as you can get without a human being with you that you want to fuck, and it does not vibrate. So people decide, well, I want to. Really, what I want is I want the sensation of fucking. I want the in out. I want the fullness. I want that. It doesn't matter if it vibrates. Then she wants a dildo or a toy like that, and maybe somebody who wants to experience the vibration and vibration can work in the vagina, and many women like that a lot. But it is especially good externally on the clitoris or around the clitoris, which has the most of these nerve endings that feel and respond to vibration. And lots of times people think about, oh, I'm going to get a sex toy, and a sex toy is for me, I'm solo, but solo sex is like having sex with another person, except it's only me, so therefore I'm going to get something that is going to go in my vagina. And again, she may love that feeling, and she may really like it a lot, but solo sex can also explore different kinds of sensation that may not be the primary thing you experience while fucking. And that's where a vibrator really comes in. For clitoral vibration, which is the fastest way that many women can orgasm, and sometimes for some women the most efficient and best way. For some women it's the only way, but you know, hopefully they'll get enough vibration that their orgasms will come easier to them, and then they get more orgasmic in different ways too. So a very popular kind of vibrator is the Hitachi Magic Wand. It's strong. It's not designed for insertion at all. It plugs into the wall. It's a little appliance. It really does the trick. And some women think it's too big, and what's that plug in the wall business? That scares me. And so now there are many other battery or recharge styles. A very popular one that I bet many of your women listeners have heard about is the Rabbit, because that was on Sex and the City a few years ago. So loads of women have heard about the Rabbit. It has a part that goes into the vagina, and it rotates or vibrates, and then there's a vibrating part that stays external on the clitoris, and the reason it's called a rabbit is that little part shaped like a rabbit. And not everybody wants to make love with a rabbit, but some people are really happy with this thing. And then there are waterproof ones for people who like to take it into the tub or the shower with them. And there is a whole new style of vibrator. We're calling them premium vibrators or designer vibrators. They're
designer
more expensive.
Vibrators.
Designer, yeah, they're designed to be beautiful objects. You know, when back in the old days, your vibrator either looked kind of like a rocket or it looked like a disembodied dick, and neither one of them was a super sexy looking object really necessarily. And these are looking like beautiful sculpted objects. A lot of them have kind of a curve to them that's supposed to go over the vulva and cover up the clitoris, but get, you know, more of the vulva in on it too, because that feels nice. And they are often, you know, very pretty jewel like collars and have just a different look to them. And a lot of times women now find that they find the look of these items, it's not just as sexier, it's that it is just nicer, it's classier, it's prettier. And you know, women care about the look of the items that they surround themselves with. You know, we're the women who like designer shoes too and all of that. So women are aesthetic often, and these toys appeal to that aesthetic in women, as well as being better made than the old school ones that you just put a couple of batteries in. So those are, there are many different styles. A common, really well-liked company there is the Lalo. They're designed in Scandinavia, and there's another company called Jeju, which your listeners who know their French will know means I play. And those are really nice toys as well.
Now, I heard a lot of women say that this glass dildo really does.
Oh, yeah. The glass is beautiful. Now, I want to start by saying the glass isn't just like the glass from the Coke bottle or whatever. It's special. Its scientific name is it's annealed glass, but we describe it as Pyrexed. And a lot of people know about, you know, their Pyrex oven dishes or grandma's Pyrex oven dishes that you can, you know, it's specially strong glass. So it's not going to break when you use it, and it's much safer to use. But it's also being made by these people who make very beautiful objects out of it. So one of the reasons women like it is, again, they're very pretty, pretty sex toys. They don't have, you know, kind of a rubber dong look to them at all. They're elegant. And they are, of course, being made out of glass, perfectly hard. And some women like sex toys that have a kind of a cushiness or a lifelike, soft sensation to them. But some, it turns out, really like this feeling of very hard, firm material. For some women, it's easier to find their G-spot with a toy like that, especially if it's got a curve to it or a kind of a knob on the end, a head kind of shape on the end, like a cock head. And for those women who like this hard feeling, the glass is really heaven because there's just no give to it and you really know what's going on. So it doesn't have a sense of softness to it. But it turns out many women don't feel like they need that sense. It feels nice to them.
And Dr. Queen, you just made one of my female listeners write me in my chat room. She said, "Your guest has me so wet."
Thank you. You know, that's very flattering. I thank you very much. And, you know, the fact is that it's so great to have loving or at least hot sex with somebody that you feel like being in the same room with. And it's also really nice to be able to just explore sexual sensations at your leisure and figure out what it is that goes on down there and what you like and all of that. So, you know, I'm glad that she thinks that talking about toys and solo sex is an erotic thing, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, do toys and, say, erotic novels go hand in hand? Do some women read erotic novels while they're masturbating or right before they masturbate?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think we're actually just at the dawn of a new age with the Kindle and the iPad and all the things that you can hold in one hand and reach around with your thumb and get to the scroll button or even your iPhone or whatever you can do that on now, and so that you don't have to be stopping your vibrating to turn a page anymore. So that'll be good in the future for when everybody gets loaded up with all of these new internet things. But some men actually also like to watch erotic movies while they use their toys. Many women prefer to get into reading rather than watching the movies. There's something about an erotic film that, you know, it's just right there in front of you, and you're not using your imagination quite so much in the same way. A lot of women like erotic stories because they fill in the blanks. They decide what the people look like. They can imagine the characters to be themselves and their lover or the complete strangers or someone they think is sexy. It gives us a way to exercise our erotic imagination that's very nice. Plenty of women are perfectly happy to cuddle up with their man in the remote control and watch the movies too, but erotic writing has a special place in women's heart, I think.
Yeah, because I noticed that, well, nowadays you got a lot of women, as you just alluded to, that watch porn.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always felt that men tend to lean towards porn, even though they will read some erotica to some degree, and women definitely love erotica.
Yeah.
They love reading erotic novels, erotic fiction, erotic fantasies, and Why do you think erotica has it seems like it's become a lot more popular in the last, say, 5, 10, maybe 15 years. Why do you think matter of fact, USA Today had an article saying that women nowadays, they don't even want to read the quote-unquote harlequin romance type thing.
Yeah.
Hardcore stuff. I think
actually many women still really like the harlequin romances and the other romance publisher. You know, harlequin's not the only one, but it's the most famous one. And actually those publishers have taken a cue and allowed their writers to get a little more explicit than they were 15 or 20 years ago, which is interesting. It's like even those folks are kind of keeping up with the tendency toward going to erotic writing. And my theory about this actually is that much more reference to sex has gotten common in all kinds of pop culture, from Sex in the City to what you can read in Cosmo or the other women's magazines. It's gotten a little more explicit. You know, it used to be we would do an interview about vibrators with Cosmo or somebody, and they would be happy to publish it, but they wouldn't put any pictures of the vibrators themselves in. And now they all of the women's magazines are much more comfortable with that sort of thing. And in mainstream movies, you get ones that, whether they're comedies and the sex is kind of played for laughs or you're really supposed to take it seriously, sometimes the eroticism of those is very, very high. And it's just become more common everywhere, which I think breaks down the barriers to a woman picking up an erotic novel or stories, or also her deciding that maybe she will try a toy after all, especially if she knows, you know, she's got a bunch of girlfriends who also like that kind of thing, who don't necessarily tell her the explicit stuff that they do with the stories and the toys, but that she just knows that it's sort of more normal. I don't like that word very much, normal, because so many people think of it as being a word that tells them what they can't do sexually rather than what they can. You know, they're like, oh, that's not normal. It's like, well, you know what, lots of people do it, so you do the math. If you want to do it, you should find a way to do it safely and consensually and have fun, and that's what's important. But I think that there's just more permission now for people to explore these things. I think there's more of it, and I think more people want to tune in and find out if there's something there for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've asked a few other guests this, and some guests have said there's no real difference, and other guests have suggested it might be. Is there a difference for a woman between a clitoral orgasm and a G-spot orgasm?
Well, I think that there is. Certainly, in my own life, I've experienced both separate kinds and noticed differences in the way that they feel, but not every woman is best friends with her G-spot right now. You know, not everybody. In fact, we're just maybe next week or 2 weeks from now releasing a movie about the G-spot that we made at Good Vibrations. Our sister company that makes movies is called Good Releasing, and I scripted it and host it, so people can look for that soon. It's called Gush. Because you know, some women, when they have G-spot orgasms, will gush fluid, will have ejaculation, and so it sort of refers to that. But if a woman hasn't experienced those sensations, then you know she doesn't have anything to compare it to. And some women just don't feel that the G-spot is very present for them. It's not a separate feeling that they seek out, and so they don't notice a difference between an orgasm that they have with nothing inside them and an orgasm that does come from fucking or something that involves, you know, like a dildo play or something like that. So I think it depends on the woman, but I think there are two different kinds of sensation that some women feel. And it makes sense scientifically, too, because there's a nerve ending that goes from the clitoris, and in guys it goes from the penis, and not surprisingly, it goes to the spine, it goes up to the brain, which is where we really have the orgasm in the brain, and it, you know, it's plenty going on genitally, so it seems like that's where it's happening, but really it's a brain sensation and a separate nerve pathway from the G-spot area and the uterus. And so a woman, if that's the primary place that she has been stimulated, it is actually a different major nerve that gets that orgasmic sensation to her brain. So that would help explain why they feel different for some people, because there's really two separate nerves altogether that may get the sensation there. And many women, of course, like them to be both stimulated at the same time. So that's why we all have two hands. Or a penis in hands, or whatever we have, because some women really like to feel all of it, as much as they can feel all at the same time. Plenty of guys also like, you know, to get as many hands in the action as they can, of course, as well.
I've heard the clit actually has more sensitive nerve endings than the head of a penis. Is that true?
That is true, and the reason why is that each of those areas has about the same number of sensitive nerve endings, but because the clit is smaller, they're packed in tighter, and so they're denser, and you can't go any distance at all on the clit without finding very, very sensitive nerve endings. And for men, the most sensitive nerve endings, most guys, are clustered around the bottom of the penis, where the two sides kind of come together, you know, where the helmet look of a guy's cock head kind of meets. That area is called the frenulum, and it's the most sensitive part on many guys, partly because that's where, whether or not a man still has his foreskin, that's where the foreskin did attach on. There are extra nerve endings there from the foreskin, even if he's had his foreskin removed with circumcision, and some of those nerve endings remain there.
Mm-hmm. Listeners, if you have questions or comments for this most interesting conversation, you can call in to 646-478-5710. Again, that's 646-478-5710. I'm going to take my last intermission break of the night, but I will be back with a few more questions with my special guest, Dr. Carol Queen. Don't go anywhere.
Do you want to let loose?
Yep.
Do you want to vent on the issues
all the time?
Do you want to express your view?
Yes, sir.
Then sound off. This is your host, Harold L.,
okay,
inviting you to join me on Blog Talk Radio with the Sound Off Now show.
That's what's up.
Real life. Real issues, real talk,
okay,
uncensored. Join me on the SON Network Monday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern for some of the most controversial issues and forums as we simply sound off.
I'm there.
Come join us and sound off now, where nothing is off limits.
That's what's up.
www.blogtalkradio.com/sound-off-now.
From President Barack Obama to Jazz Master Ellis Marsalis, Olympic gold medalist Diane Dixon to Academy Award winner Monique, Pulitzer Prize winner Maya Angelou to World Heavyweight Champ Evander Holyfield. These and more are the African American figures Blog Talk Radio is honoring throughout the month with encore presentations of their most compelling interviews. And soon, we'll be capping off our 28 Days of Black History Makers series with a two-hour special presented by AT&T. Day 28, Go Tell It Live, gets underway Monday, February 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. To learn more, log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/Black History Makers.
Mo One.
I never really looked at myself as a quote-unquote bad boy, at least not in all regards. I mean, I ain't never robbed no bank, and I ain't never skipped 2 weeks of school. So in terms of just various facets of my behavior, I wouldn't necessarily call myself that. But yeah, when it comes to sex, I've definitely been that guy.
Because okay,
I will push a woman's boundaries.
You know what? To be honest with you, I think most women are waiting for a man to do that. Most women want a man to do that. Most women that are coming up in the day and age where a woman is supposed to be the good girl has this idea that a man is going to bring that out of her, and she's hoping that he will. Unfortunately, a lot of men, I won't say a lot of men, but some men have no idea what they're doing. And so they're not able to get that out of her. And then everybody's frustrated. She's frustrated, he's frustrated. Nobody knows why it's not working. But women are like, go ahead, like blindfold her and just take her wherever you want to take her. She's waiting for a man to command that, so she can't, you know, in some cases be that free to say, okay, blindfold me and take me wherever you want to take me. And it's because in some ways she's afraid of where you might take her. You know, depending on what the relationship is like with him and how much she trusts him. And in other cases, she just doesn't know how to say that herself.
No woman wants a man that can't lay it down in the bedroom. Period. And, you know, women, we go through this, oh, I want to be held and I want to cuddle and I want to talk. Yeah, we want to do all of that. But when it comes down to it, we want to be climbing off the ceiling just like everybody else does.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Turn to my interview with clinical sexologist Dr. Carol Queen on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Well, welcome back to the last segment of tonight's discussion on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. I just got to say, my guest tonight, she's turning out my show. You've heard me use that term, a man turning a woman out, woman turning a man out. She turning out my whole show. She got women write me, they like, oh, my God, this woman got me so hot and bothered. And, shoot, I ain't going to lie, this guest has had me rise to the occasion.
I couldn't be more flattered. Thank you.
She's informing and educating, but still it's like she just has this way about it. She's definitely in the right field.
It's true. I really did find my bliss, you know. That's what they say. I listened to a storyteller a long time ago who had this thing. Her story was called Follow What Fascinates You. And I thought, really, I could do that, huh? Okay, well, this is where it led me. And you're clearly in the business yourself, so you see how it is.
Yes, indeed. Now, it's just there's this million-dollar industry with female sex toys. How come the media perpetuates that men masturbate more? I would have to say women masturbate more, wouldn't you say?
Well, I don't know in terms of the frequency and all of that kind of stuff. I think it goes without saying that if you're just simply talking about the toys as you know, consumer objects, that women buy more stuff to masturbate with, unless you count porn as a sex toy for guys. But I think that there's just a little bit of, even today, even still, a little bit of reluctance to really say how much of this stuff is sold and how many women own them and how many women masturbate. And you know, the sex research in America is often pretty bad. So we really don't know for sure how often women use this stuff. But when Dr. Kinsey from the Kinsey Report in the mid-20th century, put out his first book about male sexuality, he became super famous overnight, and, you know, he was on every magazine cover,
he went and spoke to and took sex histories from the Senate and everything. And when he put his second book out about women's sexuality, people started to hound him, and they hounded him to his grave. And even now, I think it's still a little bit of a notion that our culture has. It's outdated and wrong, probably, but that women just aren't as sexual as men. You know, I think there's a it's like a prejudice almost.
Well, that's very interesting.
You think that's fair? I mean, I think women are just not told, hey, yeah, you're just as sexual as the guys. I think we have to find that out for ourselves if that's true for us.
Huh. I mean, I guess I'm not naive. I've gotten that over the years, but I never knew that, though, about Kinsey getting that type of reaction.
Yeah, he got dumped on with the women. That was the thing. He told everybody their moms and their wives were having extramarital sex and lesbian experiences and all that stuff, and they couldn't handle it.
Wow. Do you think we're going from genders to countries? I was in London in November.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I lived in Los Angeles, I had a few European men and women tell me, they said that we Americans in Europe are perceived as prudes. Do you think Americans are far more prudish than the average European?
I think that Americans believe still, so many, that sex is supposed to be, you know, private, down low, hidden, secretive, whatever, however you want to call it. And it isn't quite as much of an open part of life. You remember, you know, it was Europe who gave us all those sexy foreign movies that kind of took the lid off the old movie code in the United States, where a married man and a woman had to be shown sleeping in twin beds, you know? Remember the old school movies that were so buttoned down. And I think the United States has this puritanical streak still. And of course, when you get going with somebody, when you get to be lovers with somebody, it doesn't, you know, if you're American, if the chemistry is right, they'll have just as much fun as a European. But I don't know that we all have as much of a comfort level from growing up. You know, they get better sex ed than we do in Europe. They really do. It's more of a normal thing in their lives, I think, in a particular way. Exceptions, of course. There are always exceptions to those rules. But I think that's where that idea comes from, probably.
Now when did you, when did Good Vibes, the website, get started?
Well, the stores in San Francisco got started, the first one got started all the way back in 1977. We're about going to have in about 2 weeks, we're going to have our 34th birthday, which I realize is older than many of your listeners, but we started our website in 95. So we've had a website for quite a while. And this is a couple of years ago, we sort of regrouped with a bigger web host, so we were able to boost it up, and now we've got, you know, video streaming and some of the modern stuff on our website. But we have had information and question and answer and different things on our website for quite a long while.
Mm-hmm. Now, when can porn, when is it beneficial to a relationship, and when can it become detrimental? Is it like a lot of things like alcohol? If you drink socially, you're okay, but if you just drink, you know?
Yeah, you don't bother to go outside, never see anybody, and you drink. Well, you know what? I think there's a little bit to that. Obviously, a lot of people use porn solo for masturbation, and they're not tuning in to you know, movie night with their partner or their friends, although some people do use it that way, and, you know, it is a more social medium for some people. But I think when porn is becomes problematic for people is when, you know, I overheard you saying before I came on that there was this research recently that suggests that some guys are watching so much porn that they're not able to successfully connect in their relationship any longer, or not as well as they probably could if they weren't watching so much porn. Part of that is that porn and its conventions, you know, the way, the amount of time it takes for people to come and what people do sexually in porn and the way they look and all of that stuff sort of becomes the norm for the person who watches a lot of it. That can sometimes mean that guys will come home and think that their woman doesn't look enough like the women in porn. And, you know, sometimes she doesn't, but she's right there with them. So that's got to count for something. Most guys don't go out and find themselves a porn star of their very own. They have to treat the woman at home as a cross between a porn star and the queen of the world, and then they're likely to get what they want. But there's that piece where they sort of their expectations get changed about what sex consists of. And then there's the, they're masturbating all the time and they don't have enough sexual energy left over. Now, I'm very pro-masturbation, as I think you probably have been able to tell, but but if you are in a relationship and somebody is wanting you to come to bed with them, the thing to do is not to stay out in the computer in the other room and not go to bed with them. That means that porn has become, or your habits with porn have become an impediment in the relationship on a similar level as, you know, when guys complain that she says, "Not tonight, dear, I have a headache," and their wife never wants to do anything with them. So in whichever direction it comes from, if a couple can't connect sexually on a pretty regular basis, then there's something to wonder about whether there's, you know, a sex therapist visit to make or something. They need to unload the reality to each other and try to come to a solution together, because that's not the way most people expect it's going to be when they get married or they get with a significant other. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, if they're watching porn together and they're getting hot and bothered and then they're turning to each other and going, "I don't care what's happening on the screen, you're right here," then, you know, many sex therapists would say that's a great use of porn. If someone is so uptight about sex that they need to be familiarized with it and just made less frightened of it, some kinds of porn can help with that, although certain kinds of porn will, you know, just scare you worse. but the kind where, you know, real couples are involved in the, there are certain kinds of porn that sex therapists often will say, you know, that sends a different message. That's a message that's more sex positive and doesn't give people the wrong clue about what sex might be like. Like, my favorite example of this is when a guy in porn pulls out and then ejaculates on the back of the woman that he has been fucking, and she has an orgasm from getting her back ejaculated on. That rarely happens in real life. rarely happens. I don't want to give the guys out there the wrong idea that it's sexy to look at, but that's not what gets women off.
Well, yeah, I mean, that just, to me, goes without saying. I mean,
but, you know, if you watch porn for your sex ed, you know, this is and of course many people do, because you go to high school and you get sex ed, and did they ever talk about pleasure and orgasm? No. You know, do you get out of high school sex ed saying, "Oh, now I know how to give a woman an orgasm"? No, you learned it somewhere else if you would have figured that out by then. You don't learn it there. That's not what they teach. They teach watch out. They teach, well, maybe you could use a condom, and if you do, this is the way you use it, but you should just wait. They teach you to be frightened and concerned, and there are things to be frightened and concerned about with sex, but the pleasure is why most people would like to have sex at least a few times in their lives. It's not just for the babies. It's not just for the bonding. It's for the orgasms and the pleasure that you get. So people naturally turn to porn thinking they're going to get the real information from that. And, of course, watching porn to get real sex information is a little bit like watching a car chase movie to learn how to drive. It's got some similarities. Yeah, they really are driving the car, but they're specialists. And some of it sometimes is faked. But even if it's not faked, it's trained professionals like stunt people doing their thing. And it's not what you do at home on the weekend necessarily. You get close to the person that is in the bed with you, and then one thing leads to another.
You are such a character, Dr. Cody. Now, I read something about
climax beads. What are climax beads?
Well, there's two different kinds of beads that show up in sex toy catalogs and sites and things like that. And one of them is a larger, usually one or two beads on a string, maybe not a whole string of them, just one or two, that are designed to work like the old school Benoit balls that you probably know about and many of your listeners have heard about, which are just two beads that go into the vagina and I don't know what they thought. They're supposed to rattle around in there. They don't. You know, the vagina's not like a cave. That's not how it works. It's like a lightly closed fist. It expands if there's something big in there. And if it's not very big, like these balls, it won't get very big. But the climax balls are bigger, and they're great for pulling on the string and tightening down those pussy muscles to get stronger pussy muscles. Scientists would say the pubococcygeal muscles, but we might like to call them pussy muscles.
Ooh,
and the muscles that pulse when a woman is coming, those are those muscles. And so many women will go, oh, yeah, I know. I know how that feels. And many guys have felt a woman coming on their cock and can feel those muscles pulsing. So,
oh, that's the snapper pussy.
That's snapper pussy muscles, exactly right. So it's nice to have strong muscle tone there, and these climax beads will help that. But they're not always called, they're called different things. Sometimes they're called smart balls. So one catalog calls them duotones. Well, I don't know what that's supposed to mean. It sounds like a music term to me. But and then there are beads that are designed for anal insertion and pulling out. And those, besides just being kind of nasty and fun to use, can feel as though they make your climax longer when you come if you're pulling them out, because you pull the bead out one at a time, and then the just makes the sensation continue until all the beads are out. So I've heard of people using just, you know, strings of pearls to do this with, but you can never clean those, of course, after you've played around with your pearls. You don't necessarily want to wear them to church again. So the sex toy is a more efficient way of getting what you want in that respect.
Okay. Now, what if you're in a, somebody asked in the chat room a while back, what if you're in a relationship and either you're the woman and you like toys, but your partner doesn't, or you're male and your partner doesn't, or anybody. How do you go about communicating to your partner and persuading them to add different spice and twist to the sex life?
Well, there is the trick of saying, hey, how about if we tell each other something we'd always wanted to try and do together, and you see if you both can come up with an idea that you're willing to do for each other as a tryout. You know, maybe I'll give you a hand job in the back of the car at the back of the parking lot's ball game after the ball game's over, if you will play with sex toys with me or something, whatever the little new adventure thing would be in either case. Sometimes that works. And other times, just being frank and saying that it's an erotic idea, something you always wanted to try, and you heard that lots of guys actually really like the experience of being with a woman who's playing with toys. It's sexy to them. It's not the same as intercourse. It's not the same as fucking. You can really encourage and truthfully say that to a partner, particularly a vibrator. It is not the same thing, and it's not like the guy has to sit there while you do something that doesn't involve him, because he can always get involved. In fact, there's a toy that has been invented within the last 2 years called the WE Vibe, that is designed to fit inside the vagina and curve around like a U-turn and come up and sit on her clitoris as well. And it has a very thin neck that comes out of the vagina and over to the clitoris so that he can also fit inside her at the same time. And he gets to feel vibration at the exact same time he's in her pussy, which for many guys is enough to say, oh, no, that's pretty fun. I will do that. Because men who don't like vibrators and toys often think that they are supposed to be enough, quote unquote, for her. And they're not thinking about sex as a sensual thing that two people do that is a form of play and enjoyment so much as if he doesn't do everything, then he somehow isn't. There's either something wrong with her or there's something wrong with him. And there's nothing wrong with anybody. It's just wonderful sensation that we seek when we're, and emotional connection too, of course, often, when we're having sex with one another. It's not that a guy is supposed to make his penis vibrate. It doesn't. It's just different. And adding on to the spice is a way for people to get closer and just have more fun.
Now one of my chat room people said there's a phrase, we vibe. What's we vibe?
Yeah, it's called the we vibe.
Okay.
And you can find it at goodvibes.com, and there'll be a picture on there, of course. And it's I think they even have their own website, the we vibe site. I don't know what it's called, probably wevibe.com, but it's out there now. It's in the better sex toy stores.
Now, what about my listeners who, I've been hearing this term used, particularly in your field, about sex positive? Some people are familiar with the term, and I'm sure other listeners are not. For those who are not, what does it mean to emphasize sex positive?
Well, the sex positive, if you thought about what the opposite would be, it would be sex negative, and that would mean, of course, that somebody has been given bad messages about sex. Sex is dangerous. Sex is frightening. You shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do it too much. I mean, there's plenty of that in our culture still, certainly in some corners of it anyway. And sex positive is really, sex can be a wonderful positive aspect of anybody's life. It implies that each person is a sexual individual. They're their own unique person, and getting to know themselves so that they can share that uniqueness with a partner is a good thing. That if it's consensual, that each person should find the sex that is the right kind for them, and if it's not the right kind for me, then that's good. We're just different, so that there's less judgment in the discussion about sex, and there's less, ooh, that's nasty. I mean, talking about sex as nasty can be fun, of course, but if it gets to the point in a person's mind where they feel as though there's something wrong with them for what they desire, you know, unless what they're desiring is, I want to do things to people who don't want it done to them,
yeah,
you don't have to feel that shame. You can find the people who like to do what you like to do or want to try what you want to try, and wouldn't we'd be happier and have less stress in our lives if we thought about it like that and really believed that, as it is for so many of us, at least during certain parts of our life, a wonderful, positive, and even healthy thing to have sex in a way that is making us happy and making our partner happy. It, even if people have never had good sex in their lives, if they've had nothing but sort of abusive, bad, oh, I didn't want to, I wasn't turning on enough, oh, that wasn't great, what's all this fuss about sex? I didn't like it. Even if that's the only kind of sex you've ever had, you could still believe that there is good sex to be found with the right person, with the right information that you get before you try it. This culture treats sex as though it's something different from all of the rest of life. And sex is very special. But just like you start out not being able to boil water and later on you learn to cook and you're a great cook, you can start from not having positive sexual experiences and you can learn and come to have them if you've got the right partner that you can communicate with.
Listeners, if you got a last-minute comment or a question, because you've surely been lighting me up in the chat room, 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. Only got about 4 to 5 minutes left, so if you have a question, please call in right now. Now, So a lot of people, we think about sex toys, and you've probably touched on this to a degree already, but sex toys is being, you know, synonymous with masturbation. But what are some of the best ways that a couple, man and woman, woman and woman, can incorporate sex toys to make their lovemaking more enjoyable?
That is a fantastic question, and I think it's always possible to take any sex toy at all, put on a sexy show for your partner, and you sit at an opposite end of the bed and put enough light on so they can kind of see what's happening, and then it wouldn't matter what the size of the toy was or just what it did or anything. You're not getting in each other's way with it while you're lovemaking. You're sort of building up to something else by putting on a show for each other. So that's one great way. But the other way that people often use toys is by getting something small enough to fit in between two bodies while they're fucking, or doing other kinds of fun stuff, oral or whatever they're doing. And there are vibrating cock rings that guys can wear right on their penis, and then that'll bring vibration during fucking. But the one thing I want to let people know about those is that oftentimes women like a vibrator to be right on there and where she likes it, and then she doesn't want it moving away and coming back and moving away and coming back like it would during fucking. So if that's the situation, sometimes it's better just get a separate vibrator, have one of the two partners hold it in their hand, put it where it goes, and then enjoy yourself. Because there are slender vibrators that are small enough to fit in between two people. There are ones that fit on your fingertip. There are ones that fit in the palm of your hand very easily. And if you can reach in between your two bodies to just give plain old clitoral touch, you can also make it vibrate. So almost any position can have that. In some positions, of course, like a woman on top, plenty of stuff can go on if she's on top. If you are in one of those positions where you're on your sides and he's behind and entering from behind, that leaves plenty of room up front for a vibrator to fit. And don't forget to run the vibrator on the guy's cock, too, because sometimes men, again, really love that feeling and they just never thought they would.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, for that, then it just becomes a sex toy for everybody. Then if a guy likes the sensation of the vibrator, then all of a sudden he goes, oh, I see what the big deal is. It feels different. It feels cool. So, and even if, you know, not every woman likes the sensation of a vibrator. So I'm not telling everybody they have to all run out and get vibrators or their sex life is incomplete. You know, everybody likes what they like. And some women find vibrators are too intense for them, or they just don't like the feeling. But I think any guy who has a female partner who's at all curious about vibrators, I think they both owe it to themselves to check something out and just see if they like playing with it. Because one of the things that getting a vibrator does for a couple is if they talk together before they get it, then it gives them the opportunity to choose the vibrator together, and that's sexy. You know, you have a nice romantic sleep in on Saturday morning, and then you go out to brunch, and then you go and find yourself a vibrator, and then you take it home and you try it. Sometimes you have to get a sitter for the kids if you got kids, but you know, you make a sexy event out of it rather than thinking of it like, well, okay, I guess you need a vibrator then. You know, that's not sexy. It's all, you know, everything's an attitude, and that's no exception. If you have a good attitude about the toy will give back to you and give you fun and pleasure.
Only down to a few more minutes, a couple of questions. One, what, now you have a column on goodvibes.com where what people come on the site, say to buy sex toys, but they might want advice. So
I get a lot of people who have really sort of thorny questions. You know, I get questions about sex and health sometimes. I get questions about how to deal with things when people have been in a couple and somebody's libido has changed greatly or things like that. I mean, sometimes things that people don't know who else to ask. They ask their doctor and their doctor doesn't know, or they are afraid to ask their doctor, things like that. But some of the questions are frisky, too. One of my favorite ones to research, actually, was a woman who was kind of health conscious with her eating, and she wanted to know if there were different kinds of nutrients that would be more pro-sexual than other ones. So I got to research the food aphrodisiac and what kind of vitamins are better for you and all that kind of stuff. Turns out that really healthy eating is good for your sex life. That's really what it comes down to. If you eat way too much fat in your diet, it clogs up your arteries, and we all know what that does to our heart, but people forget that blood flow is what makes erections happen too. So a good healthy diet, a little bit of exercise, it turns out you'll have a longer, healthier sex life if you do that, not just a longer life in general.
Okay. Well, please tell my listeners about any upcoming projects, special events.
Well, folks heard you when you introduced me say that I have a nonprofit that I direct on the side. So when I'm not at Good Vibrations, I'm working on my nonprofit and on my writing projects. And so they might want to look at sexandculture.org to figure out what's going on over there, especially if they're going to come to San Francisco and can actually come to any of our events. We've got sex ed classes and readings and all kinds of things. Not a whole lot up there right now because we're moving right now, and so we don't have too many classes going on, but we will again. And May, you know, May is National Masturbation Month, so the Masturbate-a-thon will be in May. that'll be hot.
Wow, personally, Masturbation Month.
we should talk about it again then. And I personally am working on some writing projects that aren't quite ready to, you know, be announced. They don't have publishers yet or anything like that. But I'll have some more books in print one of these days. And the Gush erotic education movie. See, I'm making movies that have explicit sex like porn, but that also have the sex ed, the pleasure based sex ed that none of us ever got in school. So those are the kinds of movies that I'm making. And it may be too late in the day for me to take my clothes off and be in the movies, but it's never too late to keep my clothes on and talk and then show you some beautiful young naked people showing what I just explained. So the next one's about the G-spot. We've got oral sex ones, and we'll have other ones coming up too.
Okay, well, it's an understatement to say that it's been a pleasure having you on this show.
Well, and for me too. I'm so happy to meet you and your wonderful chat room folks. I hope I have a chance to come and chat again.
Yes, for sure. Listeners, that has been Dr. Carol Queen again. Next week, I'm not sure if I'm having a show because a week from today is my birthday. I don't know. I might be out partying. But then again, there's probably a 50 to 60% chance that I will do a show. So I'll keep you posted, but I'll definitely for sure be back 2 weeks from tonight. 2 weeks from tonight, talking to a dating coach and seduction guru named Johnny Saporno. So until then, have a safe and enjoyable weekend. Take care. I will see you in either a week or two.